And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. We're going to be talking for the next half hour with Ashley Echevarria. She is CEO of Las Cruces Boys and Girls Club, and we have good news to report. You're going to have a groundbreaking, and this is, I will just go ahead and people already know that you are moving into what used to be the old Dollar Movie Theater.
Yes.
Next to Sutherland Lumber on El Paseo. And you've got a groundbreaking coming up tomorrow.
Yes, we're really excited. It's actually just a huge milestone for our organization. We've been in need of a new building for years, and it's been a long yes. time coming. And so we're excited to hopefully spruce up that El Paseo corridor.
Well, I was at the Sun News forever, so you were our neighbors across
yes.
the street forever across Alameda.
Yes.
And that was a nice facility for the time, I guess. But yes, what you're moving into now is a big upgrade from that.
Absolutely. You know, we're in the building we're in, we've been in it since 1965,
yeah.
and it was a church prior to that.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a building that's over 100 years old, as you can imagine. That comes with old plumbing, old wiring, and, you know, it's just a building that the infrastructure has aged, and it's
yeah.
hard to keep up with and maintain. But aside from that, it's small, and it doesn't allow us to serve the amount of kids that truly need us in the community.
And when is your groundbreaking tomorrow? And I assume people are invited to come
yes.
join you?
Yes. So tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. There at the old, I still call it Video 4,
yes.
1005 El Paseo Road. We'll be right there. Actually, they're getting the tent set up right now, but we will have a few speakers. Our Congressman Gabe Vasquez will be in town to speak, and a couple of representatives and leaders from the city. We'll have some food and refreshments, and really just a celebration. And of course, some of our kids will be there. They're excited. They get to miss the morning from school, at least for
yeah.
a little bit, to join us for the ceremony.
How many children are you able to serve right now in your existing?
In our existing facility, we can fit about 115 a day. Let me tell you, when there's 115 kids in the building, we can tell. We can
yeah.
fill it. And
yeah.
and during the summer, we have a waiting list every year, especially during the summer, because that's, you know, when we're needed most and we're open all day. And so we're kind of busting at the seams. We try to keep them cycled in and out, lots of field trips, and we use Pioneer Park down the street quite a bit. And so we're going from about 6,800 square feet of space. We will be moving into 30,000 square feet. The existing structure is 20,000 square feet, but we'll be adding a gymnasium. So it'll be 30,000 when it's all said and done.
Hmm. One of the comments I made earlier in the show is somebody who lives fairly close to that area. I am just thrilled to see that building be brought back to life. That has become such a blighted corner.
Right.
The old shoe store that's shut down, and you've got the restaurant that they're trying to get going, but right now it's just a food truck. And so of the four parts of that corner, Der Wiener Schnitzel's the only one that has a going interest. And I just think that bringing kids into that area, that's just going to bring so much new life to that part of the town.
Absolutely. We're excited about the redevelopment that's going on down there. You know, it was designated as a metropolitan MRA, metropolitan redevelopment area. And so right behind there on Compo, the public housing, all of that is actually in the process of being redone as well. So there will be more family housing that goes up there. We're really excited about kids having the ability to just walk across the street, come over to the club. Hopefully we will work something out with the city to where we're kind of meeting and joining like green space so that it's kind of an easy walkway over to the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
And then great partners and friends of ours at FYI Plus, they purchased all of the property where the old CC's Pizza used to be. They actually own that entire lot all the way up to Teriyaki Chicken House. I keep joking with him and telling him, please don't take Teriyaki Chicken House away.
Yeah, that's right.
It's great for lunch, but they have some plans for that area too, and we're talking about how we can collaborate and really bring that whole area to life and make it kind of a community corridor.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the challenges of renovating an old movie theater. what are you moving into?
Well, we are moving into an old movie theater that is very oddly shaped. And so, as you know, or you probably know, I've had to learn the history because I didn't grow up in Las Cruces, but it used to be Video Twin, So it was the two movie theaters, and then later on they added the two movie theaters in the back. So you have this really oddly shaped building. It has been incredible to see what our architects have been able to do to kind of fit, you know, give them our wish list and fit everything that we want within those spaces. Again, same kind of concept. It's an old building. Old plumbing, right? I'm happy to report all of that will be redone though. So we won't be dealing with the old pipes and whatnot. But it's been really interesting. The interior demolition has already began. If you've driven by, you've probably seen all the movie theater seats pulled out. And I just left there this morning. And I mean, it's incredible to see the space kind of getting gutted out and how much bigger it is and to kind of envision what it's going to become. Obviously, you mentioned the challenges. Well, it costs money. That's a huge challenge, right?
Sure.
And so while we are breaking ground, I definitely want to make sure that it's loud and clear that we have not raised all of the funds that we need to get this done. We're in a very safe space to where we can start, but we've got to finish raising the funding to get the project complete, because we're looking probably at a $10 to $12 million project when it's all said and done.
I had read that Project Jupiter contributed $1.5 million.
Yes.
How did that happen? How did the conversation end up with that?
You know, some things happen a lot quicker than others, and that happened very quickly. What had initially happened was we were talking to Representative Nathan Small about possibly getting some assistance from the state level. The challenge with that, as y'all probably know, nonprofit and the anti-donation clause in New Mexico really poses some challenges. And so while we had initiated those conversations with Nathan Small, he was already talking to the developers from Project Jupiter, and quite frankly, it happened very quickly. Within a week or two, we found out that, and you also have to understand, we had already been in conversations with Doniana County and how maybe they could contribute. And since this was one of their projects, they kind of just looped us in. It was a huge gift, and that quite, you know, it really got us to groundbreaking. Without that gift, we wouldn't be in a position to break ground yet. And so, you know, it's when a business like that comes to town and they're willing to invest in the community, I think that says a lot. And it, for me, it makes me excited about the possibilities down the road. You know, how can we expand further into the county? We got to get this building done, but, you know, how can we serve kids throughout Doniana County? That's definitely one of the questions that I challenge myself with, and hopefully, you know, it's something that we can look at down the road.
And you brought up the anti-donation clause. I'm kind of getting off topic a little bit, but I was complaining earlier about the way that we set electric rates, and that's based on the fact that we needed to, at a time we needed more investment, and so it's all done on how much you invest. The anti-donation clause, for people who don't know, was designed to stop railroad profiteering at the time that the state was a territory and just becoming a state. And so it does. It has been an incredibly handicapped. We're the only state that has it, and it's just another example of, we have these old laws on the book that prevent us from moving forward, in my opinion. But that's a different topic. Let's get back to the Boys and Girls Club. What kinds of activities do you provide? Can you talk a little bit about what you do throughout the year?
So our goal is to be open when schools are closed. So, you know, Monday they have – the schools now have what they call these virtual learning days, right? But I don't know how much virtual learning actually happens. But at least at the Boys and Girls Club, they're getting some learning and exposure. So when schools are closed during summer, spring break, virtual learning days, we're open all day, 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You know, obviously trying to make it convenient for parents to still get to work. I think one of the most important things that we do that's often overlooked is we feed the kids. We make sure that they're getting meals. And so on full days, they're getting breakfast, a lunch, and a snack. After school, as soon as they get to the club, they're getting a full warm supper. And people say they eat a whole supper when they get there. They sure do. They're hungry. And then a couple hours later, they get a snack as well. And, you know, we try to make sure they're getting their homework done. And then involved in various activities, whether it be arts and crafts, physical fitness. We have a lot of guest speakers, career exploration type things. But I think another thing that people don't realize is we serve kids all the way until they graduate high school. So we have kids that drive themselves to the club. That's also something that's super important. So on Friday nights, at least two Friday nights a month, we stay open until about 10 o'clock for teenagers. And you don't have to be a Boys and Girls Club member. All teens can come. And the whole goal is to give kids a safe, supervised space where they get to have some fun, stay out of trouble. We've, you know, heard so much lately in this community about youth violence, mm-hmm. and it breaks my heart every time I hear it, because I can't help but think, what more can we do to make sure that this does not continue to happen? Yeah. And so the exciting part about the new facility is we're going to have this entire dedicated space for teens. Actually, essentially what it is one movie theater. That'll be the teen wing, and it's going to be a really cool space that teens will want to be. And I think about the possibilities, too, of just staying open late on weeknights for open gym time, you know, shooting hoops, or the great activities that we can provide to keep teens busy on the weekends. And that's really what we're looking forward to in the new facility, as well as just enhancing our programs tenfold. So we'll have a culinary arts kitchen. We'll have a arts and woodworking room. We'll have, everybody wants to know, are you keeping a movie theater? We're not keeping it as a movie theater per se. We are transforming it more into a performing arts center, more of like a black box type theater where they can move the stage, and we will have a screen if we want to show movies, but also so we can teach kids about performing arts,
right?
And maybe set design, and you know, hopefully, we're going to have something very similar to this. We'll have a media and music room that will also have a green screen and, you know, teaching kids how to record podcasts and music and all that sort of thing. The whole goal, right, is to give them a hobby, an interest that will hopefully inspire them to turn it into a career in the future.
Well, if you have any kids there who want to learn more about radio, we'd love to partner with you on that.
Awesome. I'm sure they would love that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
How do the children get to the Boys and Girls Club? Are there vans that go from the schools?
So the business that I would love to get out of is the fleet business.
yes.
We actually provide transportation. So we pick up from just about every school in town, elementary, middle, and high school. It's not ideal. But what we found is if we don't pick them up and bring them to us, they won't get to us. The transportation issue is a huge issue. So my dream and goal is that by the time we're in the new facility, we will have something worked out with either the school district or the city to where kids can get bused to the club. And, you know, we can hopefully just hold on to like four new vans and use them for field trips. That would be the goal.
Yeah.
Because that does become a headache, you know, where we have to design routes and we only have so many vans. So there's kids that are stuck waiting for us because they're the third school on the list and that sort of thing. So, after school, we have to pick them up. We bring them to us. During the summer, parents drop off in the mornings.
And you talked earlier about, on your busy days that you have a waiting list. Can you give us an idea about how long can that get to be?
Yeah, you know, so during the summer, what I do, I've kind of found our sweet spot after 12 years. I've kind of learned we allow 165 kids to register. After that, it stops because I know that at 165 kids registered, I'm going to end up about 100 to 115 a day, and that's all we can fit. Mm-hmm. And so typically every year that list grows. I mean, well into over 200, 250, 300 that need a place to go.
Right.
And so that's the exciting part about the new facility. We'll be able to hold a lot more kids. And aside from that, something that I definitely want to mention is we want it to be a community space too. You know, during the day right now, kids are at school. Our building's empty, except for the people that are in the office. So who else may need access to the space, access to computers, a kitchen, learning center? So we're definitely open to that. We're really open to partnering with the city and their Parks and Rec department. That's actually why we designed our gym kind of toward the back so people can access just the gym separately. And so we're just really excited about the possibilities that'll come with the new facility.
And am I right? Do you have your big breakfast coming up? Is that correct?
We do. Thank you for mentioning that. I'm like so focused on the groundbreaking. Yeah. I'm like one minute at a time, right?
Yeah.
We do. So we actually pushed our breakfast back a little later this year. It's normally in April, but this year it's May 14th. We are excited to be welcoming Terrell Owens from, I believe, the Dallas Cowboys and 49ers, if I'm correct.
And the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Okay, there you go. See, I am not a sports girl, so it kind of works in my favor because I don't get starstruck. I'm just like, it's another human.
Well, T.O. is a good gift.
Yes, but T.O.'s kind of a big deal, so I hear. So we're excited to be welcoming him as our keynote speaker. This will be, I believe, our 18th Lou and Mary Henson Community Breakfast. Very, very grateful to continue to have the Henson family's support. And excited to bring in another great speaker. The last few years, we have switched formats. The speaker used to come in and do like a keynote. Now we do what they call a fireside chat, where we have, oh gosh, I'm going to draw a blank on his name because you put me on the spot. We Adam Young from NMSU, he gets on stage and does an onstage interview. And the format, it kind of moves a lot smoother. And so we're excited about that. It's May 14th at 7 a.m. at the New Mexico Farm and Ranch Museum. We still have sponsorships and tables available. Best way to learn about that is to go to our website, bgclascruces.org. I will really start putting my foot on the gas on that breakfast probably next week.
Yeah.
Once I get through this week. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, we're excited about that event. And, you know, to have the Henson family's continued support has been huge for us. Actually, the gymnasium, super excited. We had Nucinda. Nucinda was actually the first company organization to sign on and give us $1.5 million. Wow. That's our biggest gift in history. And then Project Jupiter came later for the naming of our gym. So the gym will be the Nucinda Gymnasium, but we're really excited because the court inside will be Lou and Mary Henson Court.
Oh, it'll be a basketball court?
Yes. So we'll have a basketball court in there, but it will also have the capability to turn into a volleyball court. Sure. And, of course, what's hot right now?
Pickleball.
Yep, two pickleball courts.
Two pickleball courts. On one day. Sure,
yes.
That's right.
So we're excited about that. One of our longtime supporters, Laura Smart, used to be a board member. She's a huge pickleball player, so she wanted to make sure we were going to have pickleball inside, and we will.
Okay, well, that's great.
Yeah.
Boys and Girls Club, are you obviously that's a national organization. So how does that affiliation work? Do we get funding from them, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because I think a lot of people just assume that because we are part of a national organization, we get all of our funding from them. That's not the way it works. We're very proud to be affiliates of Boys and Girls Clubs of America. I think the benefits far outweigh the dues. So technically what happens is we pay dues to be a part of Boys and Girls Clubs of America. And of course, we have to meet minimum requirements and a lot of safety requirements to make sure that we're up to par. But, you know, what we get in return from them is this amazing brand and tons of resources and training for our staff. So most of our funding, the rule with Boys and Girls Clubs of America is when you're going to open a club, you have to be able, the community has to sustain the Boys and Girls Club in the community. So we're locally governed, locally operated, and locally funded. And so we do get a little bit of pass-through dollars from our national office, but it's really just a drop in the bucket compared to what it costs to operate.
Right.
All of the money that it costs us to operate, which is close to $1 million a year, is raised locally through grants, through our, you know, really incredibly giving community. And, you know, the various fundraisers that we have.
Yeah.
Do parents have to pay anything for their kids to go?
Parents do pay a weekly rate. It's much lower than what a traditional childcare facility would be. But because the state of New Mexico has, and actually I was looking at I think you guys just talked about this.
We did. Yeah, that was just our last topic. Yeah.
So what we... Something interesting that I didn't mention is we have some satellite sites. So we also serve kids. We have four elementary schools that our staff go to, and the kids just go to the cafeteria, but it's Boys and Girls Club programs and staff. All of those elementary schools right now, we have licensed them to be childcare so that any kid can come for free if their parents sign up for universal childcare. Unfortunately, in our existing facility, we just can't license. We would have to do way too many upgrades to meet the licensing requirements. The goal for the new facility is that we will be a licensed childcare facility. That way, there will be no charge to anybody that signs up for the universal childcare, and it's worth it. And I mean, the return for us is great. It helps us balance out our costs, but also it allows so many more kids to attend for free.
Yeah. So you've got your groundbreaking tomorrow, and typically that's the very beginning of the process, but you've been working on this for a while, haven't you?
Yes, far too long. You know, we've been at this, honestly, since about COVID. We were in the middle of a feasibility study around COVID time.
Well, that's when the theater shut down, I guess.
Yes, yeah. And we were working on, actually, we were looking at a different location, working with the city. That kind of fell through. So it's been a long journey. We went under contract with the theater, I believe in late 2020, I think December of 2023. And then we finally closed on the building in January of 25. And I could be off on those years. So much time has gone by. But the actual demolition started probably about a month and a half ago. I think they've been at it for about 4 weeks where they've started. We were telling them they had till the end of May to get the interior demoed. I think they're going to be done much sooner.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. They're just moving a lot faster than we anticipated. So, yeah, the tomorrow, the groundbreaking's really just for ceremonial purposes, but they've been at it at least for a few weeks officially in the ground. We probably won't start actual construction until this summer sometime. So where the new walls will start going up and whatnot, hopefully around this summer, with the goal of being in the facility. The dream goal is by the end of 2027. It may not be till early 2028.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're there almost. Light at the end of the tunnel, at least.
Yeah. And until then, you'll stay at the facility you're at now. And,
yes.
Yeah.
We'll stay and we'll eventually probably sell. It's amazing how many people are interested in that building. Yeah. So
it's a good location.
It's all about the location. Yeah. And I think, you know, once we announced that we were buying video for, the phone started ringing and I'm like, well, wait, we still need this space. You know, we need it up until we're ready to move. But yeah, we're really excited. I don't think our kids have any idea what to even expect because they're so humble and happy and they have fun and they love the building we're in, but they have so much bigger things coming their way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit of what kind of things will you be able to do in the new building? I'm sure you're already imagining what kind of programs, what kind of.
Yeah. So as mentioned, we'll have, we'll have a learning center. We'll have a state-of-the-art STEM lab.
Okay.
We will have, I mentioned the teen wing will have this really cool, like, gaming loft, because, you know, they love to game.
Yeah.
And as well as the media and music room, we'll have the performing arts center, the culinary arts kitchen. We'll also have some really incredible outdoor space. We'll have garden, which we have an amazing gardening program now, but it's going to be even cooler there. Outdoor play space, green space, all fenced in and safe. You know, I'm really excited about the little things. Like, we'll have a conference room and separate adult restrooms. You know, it's the little things in life. But it'll have just incredible space for the kids to learn and grow, and hopefully for the community to utilize as well. And on top of that, too, I'm excited about the element of safety. It'll be a lot safer. You know, people will have to get buzzed in to the front and, you know, to have access to the kids. And unfortunately, in today's world, you know, something that I have to worry about is our space right now. People can walk right through the courtyard where all the kids are outside playing without ever making it to the front desk. So there will be a lot more safety. I know that's a concern. I've you know, you read all these comments on the community pages on Facebook of, oh my gosh, you're putting kids on El Paseo, but it'll be fenced in. It'll be well lit. It'll be much safer.
Yeah. Oh, my poor El Paseo. It's not that bad, folks. It really isn't.
No, the best is yet to come.
Yeah, man. That's exactly right. We're excited. Right. That's exactly right. Let's see, just down to our last 3 or 4 minutes. What last messages? And obviously funding is you know, since I've been the general manager, I have a new appreciation of the never-ending job of fundraising.
Yes.
So.
Well, I think it's twofold, you know. Right now, I keep telling people, I can't wait for Capital Campaign to be over so I could just do my regular job of raise the money for us to operate every day. Yeah. So when we look at things like the Lou and Mary Henson Community Breakfast, that really helps sustain our everyday. On the other side of things, yes, we have this exciting new project and this groundbreaking tomorrow, but we still have a ways to go. And you know, when we started this, I mentioned, I think we were looking at about an $8 million project. And then it went to, okay, let's start saying 8 to 10 to really ease our way into 10. Mm-hmm. And now we're at 10, and I'm like, we probably need to start saying 10 to 12. And it's because, obviously, the cost of everything is going up. There's always going to be the unknown, the unexpected. We got to furnish the building. We can't move into this beautiful new building and bring all of our old stuff. We've got to furnish it. We've got to equip it. But then we also want to build some sustainability and put some money into our endowment and make sure that we're really doing this the right way. So, yes, we have about $8.3 million raised. Mm-hmm. We probably need to get to about $12 million. And we're so grateful for so many people like Nucinda, Project Jupiter, El Paso Electric, even Paso del Norte Health Foundation. So many people in the community who have gotten us to this point. But now we got to get to the finish line. And yeah. It's going to take our community to get there. And I trust that it's going to happen. My goal is to get this done by the end of this calendar year, to the money raised while the building's going up. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, like I said, it's exciting, and for the community and for your organization, and you know, just a positive thing all the way around. We're down to our last couple of minutes. Final thoughts, or what haven't we asked you about that do you think it's important?
No, I think just final thoughts are, you know, the community's welcome to join us tomorrow for our celebration, 10 a.m. At 1005 El Paseo Road, a future home of the Boys and Girls Club. Get to see some of our incredible kids. We have a couple of our kids speaking, so you can see our work in action. And, you know, for anybody that's interested in learning more about the project, the best thing to do is visit our website, bgclascruces.org. There's actually a 3D video walkthrough of what the building will look like on there and all the information about how you can contribute and make a difference and help us get this project done.
And are tickets available yet for the Lou and Mary Henson breakfast?
Yes. We are ready to sell tables. I'm about halfway sold out. I am confident we will sell out with TO. So that's May 14th. And again, our website, you can find all of that information there, or you can call us at 575-526-1519.
Okay, well, like I said, I really am excited about what you're doing. I look forward to seeing that part of our city have a little bit of new life brought to it. It is desperately in need of it. And thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.